our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 349, stanzas 1 and 2. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground. Within thy gates, thou city, grand and fair. 1 and 2 of Psalter 349.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, and thereof chapter 1, beginning with 1 through and including 34. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 1, the first 34 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of men, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Thus far, Scripture reading.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Tilly Van Sluis, who must receive surgery, the Lord willing, this coming Friday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we try to come before Thee who art in Thy holy temple and before whom the holy beings do bow this day, crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then there are those that have known the depths of misery, that may also be with Thee to magnify Thee for that great work which Thou hast done as the Savior of their souls. O Lord, then we are together here yet upon this world, but Thou dost bring us also into Thy sanctuary, and Thou dost bring us in the beginning of this day, Thy holy day, the first Sabbath day of this newly begun year, wherein Thou dost show unto us that Thou hast still no pleasure in our death. O, that Thou may give to us holy desires and holy longings after Thee. For when Thy Spirit will make us willing in the day of Thy power, then our souls, they shall begin to long and to pant as the hart panteth for the water brooks. And then we shall also pant for Thy holy house, O Lord of hosts. Then Thy house shall become a pleasure and a delight unto us. Then it shall be a fruit that may be known and felt and experienced in our hearts. O Lord, that Thou Thyself may make Thy sanctuary, Thy house of prayer, lovely unto us. May it be for the first time or by renewal in this morning hour, when Thou bringest us round about word and everlasting testimony, wilt Thou remember also those that it may have no desire to come round about Thy word of truth anymore. O Lord, what maketh us to differ for our hearts They are no different, but thou givest unto us in an outward way to keep the form, O, that thou may remember them also. And wilt thou bring once again, if it could please thee, with weeping and with supplications to thy house of prayer, and that thou may look also upon those that are not able to gather in thy house. O Lord, thou knowest that there can be a burning desire within, but that it is that they have been cast out of the sanctuary of the Lord, even as thy servant David, when circumstances did hinder him. But then there was a longing within his heart, even from that wilderness, from the land beyond the Jordan. I bewail my misery from the foothills of Mount Hermon. O my God, I think on thee. When there are those also that are not able because of sickness, because of weakness, because of other circumstances to gather in thy house in this day and each and every Sabbath day, and that thou may be a sanctuary unto them in the place where thou hast driven them, when they may listen perhaps by church telephone, that thou may grant thy blessing in the places where they are, that thou may fulfill their desires with thyself, and that thou may so look upon us in thy mercy as a congregation. And when thy labors do begin again, Sabbath after Sabbath day, oh, that thou wouldst bind thy word upon our hearts, and that we could not let thee go with thy servant Jacob as unless that thou wouldst bless us, and that thou may look upon us as a denomination also. Lord, remember all those that bring thy word. Oh, that thou may give opening, that thou may give liberty, that thou may give freedom, and that thou may give thy word free course amidst our congregations, wherein thou hast worked in days gone by, in the days of our forefathers. Oh, that we may be, that we may turn again from those ways which we have departed in an outward way so often, because our life that testifies against us. But, O Lord, do draw us, that we will run after thee, and turn us, and we shall be turned. And send thou servants, more servants, into thy vineyard, and help all those whom thou hast called to thy service also, all the office bearers within thy house, the elders also that do bring thy word from week to week in the absence of thy servants. Also in our congregation in Calgary, Lord, that thou may remember those that do these labors from week unto week, when they do feel all their insufficiency, but thou art able to bless the weakest means. O Lord, we beseech thee then for thy spirit in a rich measure, and also among us, when our brother hopes to be installed even in this hour in that office of elder once again, then thou knowest all that lives within his heart, and all that is necessary also for him to fulfill this office. From our side, it remains an impossibility day after day. But oh, that he may need thee in everything, and that he may feel in this labor that thou art on his right and on his left, and that he may receive also that indispensable blessing for his own soul. Lord, that thou may remember his wife also, that thou may give strength in this service, and all those that labor for thy cause, that thou wouldst bless and prosper that work for the coming of thy kingdom. Wilt thou remember in the teaching of catechism classes, and confession classes and in the house visiting. Wilt thou remember in the visitations of the weak and of the sick, of the families wherein children are born. O Lord, that thou may remember us to gather in mercy as a congregation. Look thou upon all that are afflicted and sick, her in a special way, and that must receive surgery in the week to come. O Lord, be on her right and on her left hand, for thou knowest also the fears that may live within. O that thou may give her quietness and give, that she may be able to go in thy strength, and that thou thyself would watch over and protect her and bring her through and grant thy indispensable blessing. Lord, be with children that do suffer needs known unto thee, and all others, widows, widower, all those that are orphans, and all also that mourn this day. Thou knowest where that they are also, those that have laid a beloved one in the grave in the day of yesterday in our community. O Lord, that thou thyself would cause thy word to be bound upon the hearts and the callings, that they may be blessed. Look upon us, O Lord, in this hour. Be thou on our right and on our left hand in the preaching of thy word. Wilt thou give us the unction of thy Spirit in a rich measure, that thy word may be entering not only in the ears, but that the hearts may have a place to receive it, and that thy word may be as an arrow, that there may come place for thee, thy only begotten Son, in whom that thou art so well pleased. O Lord, that thou wouldst make us also well pleased with him. O that he may become in our life our all and in all. When we are not able in ourselves to perform the least thing that is pleasurable unto thee, when we can only sin ourselves on the outside of it, time and time again. But, O thou hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world, that he may pay that great price for sin, and that he may also wash and cleanse thy church, that they may be brought again into thy blessed communion. O, then they shall begin already in this life to magnify thee for all that thou hast done. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may so open thy word to us in the year to come, in the preaching and in the hearing. O that he may become our all and in all, that we may become less and less and nothing, and that he may become more and more and everything, yea, the chiefest among 10,000, white and ruddy. O Lord, remember us then in this hour. Bless the means for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 51, stanzas 1 and 2. Amid the thronging worshippers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. And what follows, we announce, we remind the catechism classes that catechism classes will begin again and this afternoon and also tomorrow evening. And the last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, Psalter 51, stanzas 1 and 2. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and thereof the verses 6 and 7. John 1, verses 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So far the words of our text, which speak about the witness of the light, which we wish to consider into thoughts first. The need for this witness, and in the second place, the purpose of this witness. Thus, the witness of the light, first, the need for this witness, and second, the purpose of this witness. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He was sent from God. And that congregation is a great wonder, that God would send a man. We read of another man in God's Word who was sent from God. And our children know who that man is. He is not only a man, but he is God himself. He is the Son of God, and we have commemorated in the weeks gone by and the ascending of the Son of God into this world. For what reason? Well, we can read that was that he may be the Savior of the world. Is he also our Savior? But we read here that God has not only sent his Son into this world, but we can read that God has sent another man into this world. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. And what is the purpose wherefore the Lord has sent this man into the world? That is, we read, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Thus, what is a witness? A witness that is a testimony. A witness is one who tells something that he knows, or that he has heard, or that he has seen, or that he has experienced, and that he is giving a testimony unto others. And our first thought, that is the need for this testimony. And this we find in the very first portion of this chapter of the Gospel according to John, because we read here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. O congregation, is that Word? In the original language, then it says he is the Logos. He is the Word. He is the speech. That he is the Son of God. He is the express image we have heard of the Father. Thus, the Son, he is that Word. He is that Logos, a Word that is that whereby we communicate, that we tell something. And thus the Son He is the communication of the Father, by which we have heard that image of the Father may be expressed. It is expressed through that speech. It is expressed through that word. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We can hear, congregation, that the Apostle John, he brings us back to the first book of the Bible, because he begins here with the words, "in the beginning." And we know, children, another place in the Bible where it says, "in the beginning." That is the very first word of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Thus, the Apostle John, he is bringing us back. He is bringing us back to our very creation. And he talks about in the beginning that the Word was there, that is, in the beginning, who was there, that is, the Son. That Son, that he was there even before that creation of the world. Thus we read, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We have heard that there are three persons in that divine Trinity, and that it is the very special work of the Father to create. But we read here that it is also the work of the Son. And so we can see the great and blessed unity of those three persons of the Trinity, because we know that the Holy Spirit has also moved upon the face of those waters. In Him was life. Thus we see in the creation, and that the Lord has created in the first day the world, the mass, and He has given light, and in the second day, and that He has separated the waters that were above from the waters that were below. And now John says, in Him was life. Life. That is, then we can read of that life on the third day already. Because then the Lord is giving the plants upon the earth, the trees and the flowers and the grass. And we know that in the fifth day, that the birds are flying in the atmosphere, and the fish, they are swimming in the water. And on the sixth day, and then life that is given also to the beasts of the field, and even unto man. In Him, we read, was life. That is, that He is the source of life. That there is no other life but that life that is to be found in Him, and that there is no life that exists in this world that is on the outside of Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Thus now he begins to speak about light. And he says that life that was also light. He does not say that life was the light of the brute creation, no. But he says that life that was the light of men. Thus he makes a distinction between man and all the beasts of the field. That man does not do anymore today. In general, when he says that we are the same as those beasts, just a further evolution of all of the beasts of the field, no, children, young people, no. But we read in here, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Thus, the Lord, He has given light unto the crown of His creation. a light that He has not given to the animals. That is, that the Lord has endowed man with a reason, that He has given man the ability to think, that he has an intellect. Thus, man, he is endowed with light. And Christ, the Son, he is himself called here, therefore, the light of men. That is, not only after his incarnation, but it is here speaking about that Son of God and what He was for mankind even before His incarnation. He is the light of men, and then He is as a shining light to every man that is in this world. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, thus the Logos, thus the Son, thus Christ Himself, that He was already shining as a light before His incarnation. And that light that was shining for the understanding of man, that man, even by nature in his creation, may be given light. Light about what? Light about who he is, over against who the Lord is. That the Lord has given man light in order that he may know something of him. That the Lord has given man light in order that he may know he has a creator, that he has a maker, that he has a judge, and that he may come to bow and worship before him. We have heard of it already. That is that light that makes all men in this world, also those who never come under that gospel truth, to be without excuse. Why? Because Paul says that which may be known of God is manifest in them, and so we hear it once again. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What does it say? It says that that man whom the Lord has created in that light, he has not used that light aright. He has not used that light for the worship. He has not used that light in order that he may bow before the Lord, and in order that he may with every blessing the Lord has given him in his life, return all of this to the Lord. But instead, he has become vain in his imaginations, and his foolish heart was darkened. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Congregation, that is a remarkable thing. And why is that so remarkable? Children, if you have ever been in a very, very, very dark place, maybe sometimes in your bedroom in the night, and it is very, very dark, and then you will ask your mother if she can put on just a little light, just a little light, not a bright light, but a little light. Why? Well, because when you are in that blackness, and when you are in that darkness, when there is just a little bit of light, then you know that already, don't you? Do not need very much, do you? No, just the very, very smallest amount of light when you are in that blackness, and you will comprehend the light. You will know the light. You will see that there is light, and you will recognize it as light. Thus, it is a very remarkable thing, as we read here, when that light that is shining in the darkness, and we read the darkness does not comprehend it. That is a remarkable thing. And John brings then that out as a remarkable thing. That though it is so black, and that light that is shining not just such a little bit, but that light that is shining so very, very brightly, and yet the darkness that does not know it, it does not see it, it does not comprehend it. If you listen to your teachers, boys and girls, young people, when you come to high school, then they will speak about the universe, and they will speak about what the scientists, they call a black hole. Black holes, what is that? We are no scientists, but it is a place, they say, where the gravity that is so strong that everything is just pulled into that hole. And not everything as we know it only, but even light that is pulled into that hole, so that light is not able to escape. You understand that is something that is beyond the observation of any man, because it is a place that light is not able to reflect from. And now we read here that light that is shining in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. O congregation, how great the Lord is displaying the darkness of fallen man to be. That he says that light that has been shining, and yet that darkness does not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, that he may bear witness of that light. The Lord is so just. The Lord is so just to leave man in his darkness. Why? Because we have chosen that darkness. Because that darkness that is a willful darkness. But we read here that there was a man sent from God. Thus, it pleased the Lord that not all men should remain in that darkness, but that they should be brought to that light, that they should see that light, that they should recognize that light. And how should they recognize it? Well, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, that he may bear witness of the light. Thus, it speaks about God sending men into this world, that they may bear witness unto the light. Therefore, it's speaking about the offices that the Lord has instituted in his church. Then it is not only John the Baptist, but it is also the disciples, the apostles, the ministers of the word, and that office in general that is instituted for that purpose, that it may be for the witnessing of that light. And congregation, the Lord, he is not obliged to do this. But we read, it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord to use men that they may be a witness unto that light, because we read that man, he was sent from God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Does the Lord need a man? The Lord does not need a man. And there are so many means that the Lord could use when He would make men to recognize and to see that light when they were in the darkness and they could not see that light. How shall men ever come to see it? And then the Lord could use many, many means which are at His own disposal, but it is pleasing Him to send a man from Himself, we read, whose name was John. What a wonder that the Lord is pleased to use an insignificant man to show man that light, that man would recognize that light which ought to have been recognized even of itself in its brightness. Congregation, how precious to you are the offices. Isaiah, he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, of him that publishes peace. Why? Because that office that is speaking to us, that is speaking to us in our wretchedness, it is speaking to us in our misery. Just the fact that that office is there, that they are men that are sent from God, and they are sent from God for a purpose. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, that he may bear witness unto the light. And the further that we go in this chapter, the more we see the need. The more we see the need for this witness. Why? Because it speaks here of a special people. It speaks here of a people upon whom that light that has shined, that the Lord has already been shining with that light in a very special way already for thousands of years. That in a very special way that the Lord, He has shined in the way of prophecy. That in a very special way the Lord has shined with that light by way of types. That the Lord, He has shined with that light by way actually even of shadows. That is a very special people. Who were they? The Lord calls them His own people. We read here that He came unto His own. Who are they? That is thus a people whom the Lord has separated, whom the Lord has separated from all the other persons that are in this world. Then it is not speaking here in a particular way of God's elect. No, but it is speaking in a broader manner. Then it is speaking about a nation. It is speaking about a people that have been separated, who have been distinguished by the Lord from all the peoples that are in this world, to whom the Lord has given very special privileges. A people of whom the Lord says, I have come nearer to them with that light than I have come to all men that are dwelling upon the face of this world. And then John speaks further, that not only has the Lord come so in the past, but that the Lord, He has now come in such a special way that the Lord has come even in His incarnation. We read, He came unto His own. That is, He says, He was born among them. Yes, He was born out of them. That He was the very seed of David. That He was actually one of them. He came unto His own. And His own received Him not. And now we see, congregation, the darkness gathering. We see the greatness of that darkness, that it is becoming blacker and blacker, that the Lord displays it to be, as it were, the epitome of darkness. Because it is not only that men did not understand by nature, when that light has shined upon them in a general way, but it is also when that light has shined upon them in a very special way for so very many years. And then that light He has even shined in their midst. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Then we can understand that they had not received a man from another country. Then we can understand that they had not received a man that was from another race. But John says, He came even unto His own, and even His own they did not receive Him, as if the Lord says, oh, how great is this darkness, when that light that was not rejected by strangers, but that light was rejected by that separated people. Then He says, it is not only the darkness of ignorance. No, it is not only the darkness by which a man did not know. But He says it is a much blacker darkness. He says it is a darkness of rebellion. It is a darkness of enmity that is living in their hearts. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. It is an enmity against His only begotten Son. It is an enmity against that way of salvation that is proffered through Him. It is an enmity against that light. What does John say later? He says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. Thus it is not only that they did not know it, but it is that there was a love, that there was a desire for that darkness over against the light. Congregation, how great is that darkness? Do you ever feel it? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light. John had to come beforehand. John had to come as the forerunner. Why? Well, we read that it was to make a way. John had a very special work. That was the work of preparation, that there would be room for that light when it would come. And so we can read that angel Gabriel has spoken already unto the father of John, that he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Thus we read John the Baptist. He has preached to that people. And he preached to them repentance. Repent ye, he said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. And we can read all Judea and all Jerusalem has gone out unto him and were baptized of him, confessing their sins. And now it is to this people that John, he may in the Lord's time cry out, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," that he may point him out by that power of that Holy Spirit to show that light in the midst of that darkness. Why? We read it in our text that all men through him might believe. That is our second thought, the purpose of this witness, that all men through him might believe, that all men through whom might believe, that all men through John might believe. He was not that light, John says. He was not that light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. Not that all men might believe in John the Baptist, because he was not that light. And John did not declare himself either as he that should come, but he declared it plainly that he said, we read, this is the record of John, that when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" Congregation, John, he declared that he himself was not that light. How dangerous is that great I when it comes to the offices within that church of God. Because the disciples, we can read, they argued among themselves who was going to be the greatest. But the Lord said to them, "You must become even as a little child." And this is, congregation, what lives in us also as office bearers. How we need to be humbled and kept humble by the Lord. For that reason, the Lord had given Paul, he said, a thorn in his flesh. John the Baptist was not sent that all men would believe in him, in John the Baptist. But he was sent that all men might believe through him. Through him. That all men might believe in that light. And it was for this reason that John the Baptist was sent by God into this world. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Then John did not run of himself. Neither were the offices in the church instituted of themselves. But they were instituted for a purpose. And what is that purpose? That all men, through them, might believe in that light, might believe in His Son. Thus, congregation, in this morning hour, then there will be an elder installed once again in our midst. What are the offices to us? The offices within the church of God, what are they to us? What do they mean to us? Do we idolize office bearers? That is a common thing. But what does John say here? He says he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And you can read the Apostle Paul, he says the same. Because he says, who is Paul? And who is Apollos? But men by whom ye have believed. Thus, on the one hand, we may not hold those men higher than they ought to be. But then on the other hand, it is also a common thing that there is a despising of those offices. There are people, they say, we do not need those offices. Because actually all of God's children, they actually hold those offices, and therefore we do not need the church and we do not need the offices. But we can read of that mistake in the Word of God. Because we can read that Aaron and Miriam, they have risen up against God's servant Moses. And then they said, hath the Lord only spoken by Moses? Hath He not also spoken by us? And then we can read about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, how that they have risen up against Moses and Aaron. That they said, ye take too much upon you, seeing that the entire congregation is holy, why do you lift up yourselves over the congregation of the Lord? Congregation, let us be careful with the offices. It is on the one hand that the office bearers need to be so careful. Because it is possible through our negligence, through our foolishness, to bring a great contempt upon the office, so that men are despising the offices of the Lord. Or how the official sins also need to be forgiven. But on the other hand, congregation, let us be careful with those offices, that we are not lightly criticizing. Because Moses was not a perfect man, no. But Moses, he was a called man. And so that is also with the office bearers that are within the church also today. And then we can see that also by times in the histories of families. And that fathers, that mothers, that they are denigrating those office bearers in the midst of their children. And then it does nothing but damage, not only within the church, but within the family. Because then so many times, then we see that those children, they are soon leaving the house of the Lord. We read, congregation, in the book of Revelations, that the Lord Himself, He is walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks. He is walking there. Oh, could we have a little comprehension of it as office bearers, and a little comprehension of it as congregation, that where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, there the Lord says, I am in the midst of them. There the Lord is walking. Oh, children, boys and girls, fathers and mothers, when we have a little impression in our hearts that the Lord, He is walking here, that He is walking in the midst of His house, that that is a place where the Lord says that He delights to dwell, then how would we come up with a prayer, with a cry, with a concern in our heart, with a hope in our soul, that as it were, there is no place closer that we can come to Him, but in His holy house, among those offices that He has instituted, among sinful men, yes, but called men of the Lord, to do the work of the Lord, that we would say, Lord, Thou who dost walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, oh, that Thou would look upon me today, that Thou would look upon my children, that Thou would bless me undeservedly. But on the other hand, then we read that the Lord, He speaks to the Ephesians, that he threatens them, and He says that He will remove that candlestick out of their midst, except they repent, because they had left their first love. Oh, what would it be now if the Lord would take away the very candlestick? Know that the Lord would not only remove us, but that the Lord would remove the offices. That the door of the house of the Lord would go closed. How would that be for us? What would then live within our hearts? What is the purpose of those offices? Well, it is that all men through them might believe. Paul, he says, for after the wisdom of God, that all men through wisdom knew not God, that is by nature, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And if now we never come to that faith in that blessed Son of God, congregation then awaiting for us, that is an outer darkness we read in that place where hope shall never come. The scientists, they can talk about a black hole, but congregation, the Bible, the Lord Himself, He talks about a blackness and a darkness where there shall not be one single ray of light. He shall join those gone before, where the light that shall shine no more. And now it is those offices by which the Lord, He is pleased to show men their darkness. Their darkness. How? Well, when they may give a testimony of that light, when they may speak of that light, and when that light has been spoken of, and that light that has been read of here from this pulpit, then are there ever those in our midst that may hear of that light, and that may say, oh Lord, it is so dark. It is so dark that I am lying in the midst of that darkness. Yet you come here to that house of the Lord. Why? Is it all custom? Always? Or are there those of you that cannot deny that you say that you see at least something shining? You see something beautiful there. It is so dim. You cannot see it clearly. But I am sure that there is something there so precious. And that preciousness that is drawing you. That is what Bunyan tried to show. Cannot see the gate. Do you see the light? I think so. I think I do. Then that office, that evangelist, direction to those who think they may see that light. He says, keep your eye on it. Keep your eye on it. And go directly unto it. Because then thou shalt see the gate by those means, by those offices. What does Solomon say? He says, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. O congregation, make good use. Make good use of those offices the Lord has given them unto you. That we may not leave our place empty. When we are able to come up to that house of the Lord. Oh, beseech the Lord that they may be for your welfare. Let there not be a Sabbath day. Let there not be a service in that house of the Lord. That we have not personally bent our knees and supplicated the throne of grace, that the Lord would use His own word for myself, for my children. Or we read of Asaph. We read of Asaph that he was in great darkness, because that is a great darkness when we look upon all men in this world and we are envious at them. That is darkness. And where may he see light? We read until he came into the sanctuary of the Lord. Then he saw their end, he saw light. Oh, do ask the Lord that he would show to you that light. What do our fathers say about it? We read that in our canons, in Article 16. Those who do not yet experience a lively faith in Christ, an assured confidence of soul, peace of conscience, an earnest endeavor after a filial obedience and glorying in God through Christ, efficaciously wrought in them, and do nevertheless persist the use of the means which God hath appointed for working these graces in us, ought not to be alarmed at the mention of reprobation, nor to rank themselves among the reprobate, but diligently to persevere in the use of the means, and with ardent desires devoutly and humbly to wait for a season of richer grace. Congregation, what does David he say about it in the Word of God? He says, the Lord, He satisfieth the longing soul. The longing soul. And He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, are there also those, such ones, in our midst? Oh, seek that light. Seek that light through those means that the Lord has given you when you lay in the midst of your darkness, because the weakest means, they fulfill His will. Mighty enemies to still. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 320, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Ye gates of peace, and joy untold. Ye gates of righteousness, unfold, that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 320.
Thank you.
We will now read the form of ordination of elders, which you can find on page 70 or 145 on the back of your psalters. And then we'll read the part that pertains unto the elders only. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the name of our brother here present, who is chosen to the office of elder in this church, to the end and that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why he should not be ordained in his office. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against him, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to his ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders. Of the elders, it is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the Apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence, it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church, and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word, and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them. As in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from the many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2. But these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the Church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance. Therefore, it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it. And in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the Church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the Word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the Word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the Church, that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, and for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the Word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. I now ask him who would be installed in his office to please arise. To the end, therefore, and beloved brother, Mr. John Moons, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's Church and consequently of God Himself to this your holy office. Secondly, whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only Word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether you promise agreeably to said doctrine faithfully according to your ability to discharge your office, as it is here described in the government of the Church together with the ministers of the Word. Ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness, to submit yourself in case you should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the Church. What is your answer? The Almighty God grant you His grace that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your office. Mr. Moons, we have heard out of the Word of God a little something of that office to which the Lord is pleased to give you a place once again. And then we have heard that it is not about us, but that it is about Him. And for that we may be so very glad. He is the great office bearer of the Church. And He has ascended, and He sits as the director and the governor of His Church, and He places that government here below in the hands of sinful and of weak men. And therefore, we read that they are to bear witness, to bear witness of the light, that is for what that they are called. And that is a great wonder, if a man may be used to bear witness of the light in order that a person in this world may believe. That is to be an instrument in the hand of the Lord for not only the welfare of a person that is for this life, but the welfare of his never-dying soul. And then I know, because you have expressed that in the past, that that is for you a very difficult thing, that you say, how now can I be a witness? Because these people, they do elect you to be elder, then you are chosen by consistory and members, and not only by consistory and members, but as we have heard, also by the Lord. And then you say, yeah, how can I do this to bear witness of Him? Because then I say, well, I do not know Him. And Yeah, then we would say two things. In the first place, we have heard out of our form that there is a distinction between the offices. Then you are not called, of course, to the office of the ministry, but to the office of ruling. And we know in our days that that is somewhat in that office also because of the lack in the ministries that the elders, they are helping with that teaching part also. And of course, in general, all the offices, they are really about the same thing. But I would like to read to you something for a moment, which we may find in this chapter, and that was about John the Baptist himself. And that was that what John the Baptist said, he says in verse 31, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. That was John. He had to say, I did not know him. And thus there was a time in that ministry of John that he had never seen him. He was never personally revealed to him. And yet, John had to do his work. There was one thing that John knew, and that was that the Lord would manifest himself to his people. And with that knowledge, John is called to go forth. And then we can be sure that John, he has many times besought the Lord and said, Lord, show thyself to me, that I may also witness of thee to this people. And then it is not only once, but we read it here a second time. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Thus the Lord, he had said to John, I will show him to you. That was his promise. And then we read here, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Thus there came a time in the fulfilling of that office when he went forward in the Lord's way that he saw, that the Lord showed himself. And then it says he bare record, and that word is the same as in our text, witness, that he bare witness. And it is our wish, our hope, our prayer from the bottom of our heart that in all your labors, which are so appreciated by consistory, myself, and the congregation, that the Lord may give unto you also this blessing which your heart does crave, that it may be for yourself, and it also may be for the labors in the midst of our congregation. The Lord remember and help you. Congregation, pray for this man. And then he has been chosen by you. He has been chosen by the Lord. And then he needs that you would pray for him, as we all do as office bearers. And then also then you need that we as office bearers should pray for you, because that is also part of our work. Because we read in the Bible, the Lord Jesus, he told a parable that was about a husbandman, and he had a vineyard, and he had a tree, and he came and he was looking for fruit from that tree. And for 3 years in a row, there was no fruit. And then the husbandman, he said, cut it down. Why does it now cumber the ground? It brings me nothing that I can delight in, that I can eat from, that I can enjoy. 3 years. And then that vine dresser, the laborer, that office bearer, he began to plead with the husbandman. He said, let it alone yet. Let it alone. This year also. And I will dig about it. And I will dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then afterwards thou shalt cut it down. The congregation now in this morning hour, this first Sabbath of this year, the Lord says, you may go on, office bearers. And when the Lord gives another office bearer to be installed in our midst, then the Lord says, office bearers, you may go on. You may go on. You may dig about them. And you may dung that tree of their life. You may labor with them. How long? We do not know. Services they begin. But when shall they end for us? Or could the Lord give us yet this year? And if it would be just this year yet, just one more year, how shall it be? If we could dig as a consistory, if we could dung about the tree of your life in the preaching, in the reading, the house visiting, the sick visiting, digging, dunging, then how shall it be? Because there will come an end. And after that, but all that work in those offices that is done, there is still no fruit, then the Lord shall say, it is enough. Cut it down and cast it into that outer darkness where hope shall never come after we have heard the witness of the light. Oh, the Lord give that we may feel something of his goodness in giving to us the offices in his own church. And the Lord give to us also that we may use them, pleading with the Lord, Sabbath after Sabbath, for his blessing upon his own word. Let us sing standing. Psalter 367, the fourth stanza. 367, the fourth stanza. Standing, thou, the Lord, hast chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. And what follows on behalf of Mr. Moons. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same, assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans, show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your office, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor, giving yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit. And deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that stolen or hath, let him that hath stolen or hath been burdensome to his neighbor steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth, each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit, we beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming. The elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and comforting them with Thy holy word. Give grace, O to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also, especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, to the poor grateful hearts towards those that help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified in the kingdom of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged. In whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 228, stanzas 1 and 2. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear, Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. 1 and 2 of 228. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee. and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.